We're in this series called Relational Intelligence, and I'm going to carry on today with a message called Same Aim. And I'm actually, you guys helped prove my point perfectly with the game, so that was great. There's some note sheets on your table if you want to take some notes. It's pretty much blank space. I just give you a few different categories of what I'm speaking on. So this idea of same aim, yesterday we did, we had spring cleans, we already kind of talked about, and we had almost like 200 volunteers come out, and the whole point of spring clean is we're trying to raise money for missions. It does cost money to do missions, whether you're flying to Costa Rica, we're going to Austin, you know, it costs money to do these things, and so it was really cool to see the youth ministry and the church, families, all come together for this one thing in spring clean, this same aim. And the cool thing is, we raised just a little over $20,000. Give a hand clap for that. That's awesome. Hey, Dennis, can you turn the lights up a little bit? That's just cool. It's cool to see. I love that we have an awesome opportunity at this church to do things like spring clean, where we can all come together to see something so much bigger than we could ever do. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about what that looks like. But what we can do together when we have the same aim is incredible. When we come together, each of us as individuals, for a same aim and a same purpose. So each year we do this, we kind of do like a love, sex, and dating series. We think that's something that needs to be brought to us every year to talk about this idea of relationships. But this year we've taken a little bit different of an angle on it, and we're really talking about just relationships in general, friendships within the church, outside the church. That's why it's called relational intelligence, kind of this idea of what does it look like. So I forgot to bring up my spring clean team here. You can see my team. That's who I got a picture of. Oops, sorry. There we go. Go, one more. I'm clicking, she's clicking, we're all clicking. All right. Yeah, that was our team. We had a good time. Faith, I hope that's not gang signs, but that's awesome. So last week, the verse was, I'll try to click it, here we go. Last week, the verse was Philippians 2:1. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection, and any sympathy. Paul was hitting at the point, and if you are at Shepherd Groups on Wednesday, we talked about the reality is that we have so much in Christ. It's truth that we've got to believe and we've got to like internalize, but it's real and it's true. And in a spiritual way that we can't fully see, if we allow Jesus, who is in us, to build up these truths in us, they're already there. Paul's whole thing when he says if, he's almost being sarcastic. He's saying, you have it. Like, you've got it. You don't need it anymore. Christ is there to fill you. When you look to anything outside the world to fill you, to fill your cup, your life cup, how you feel about yourself, we're going to fall empty, but in Christ we have it. And so today we got to remember that. We got to remember where Bob started last week and this idea of where we get our cup filled. Because this is what Paul says. If you want to open up to Philippians chapter 2 in your Bible. If you don't open up to it, I'm going to shoot you. Where are you? Just kidding. Philippians chapter 2. Because Paul carries on. It's really important that we understand that first verse, because this is what he says. He says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection, and any sympathy, then he says, if any of that's true, which it totally is, then he says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. So what Paul is really saying is, at the center of every Christian relationship, and really any relationship we have, is the gospel. Because really, verse 2 is the gospel, saying this is all the things that we get for Christ when we believe in him and he comes to live in us. He's saying it's those things that then allow us to love others. He says, make my joy complete by doing this. So when Paul says, make my joy complete, when I first started studying this, I'm like, Paul, this is kind of weird. Like, your joy shouldn't like hinge on if the people in Philippi will actually live out your truth. So I thought it was kind of weird. Let's see if I can go to the next one. So I'm like, this is kind of weird. But really what Paul is saying here is Paul is actually in jail when he's writing this. He's writing to this church that he helped found. And it's kind of like a father's plea to his children, like almost like not on his deathbed per se, but Paul's like, man, if you have all these things in Christ, I'm in jail. I can't even do these things with you. But he's like, if you have these things in Christ, do me a favor. Take it and now make my joy complete by being of the same mind, the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. So I want to do a couple things. We're going to look at about three verses today from Philippians. Now we'll go to a couple other verses in the Bible, but we're really only going to focus on three verses. I want to break down this verse for you. What does it mean? Same mind, same love, full accord, and one mind. So when he says same mind, clearly he's hitting at this idea of same, same, same. He's saying if you have any of these things, because we all have them, then he's saying this is what we need to be like. We need to be the same in these areas. So when he says same mind, he means two minds working together towards the same thing. Literally, what the way it was written in the Greek was the same thing you think. The same thing you think. That you should be thinking on the same things. He's saying your mind should be the same and together. And so that mind that we have, because it's like weird, right? We're all sitting here, you're all in different places in life. You're all like, I'm thinking about school here, I'm thinking about sports here, I'm thinking about this thing I have going on. I'm thinking about how it was so cool to hit Lee in the head with darts or whatever it was, right? You're all thinking about different things. So how do we have the same mind? Well, we've got to be focused on the same thing. And the one thing that we have is Christ. So he's saying when you have the same mind, he's saying that you have that same mind set on Jesus, who he is, what he's about, living for that. God's word, Christ, living God's way, is what we can all come together on. That's what we can all come together on. Now, what I think is cool when he says same mind and where Paul goes with this is each of you guys here, you all have different likes. And I think that's what's cool. I want to go to this next picture. Okay, so this is the Lead the Cause team from Chicago last year, okay? So we got starting on your left, my right, we've got Alyssa. Alyssa goes to Virginia Tech. She loves psychology. That's what she's really into. She likes missions. Bob Shaw. Bob loves youth ministry. Not all of you guys love youth ministry. He loves youth ministry. Sarah Dodson. Sarah loves missions too. So there's some likenesses there, but she's got some differences. And then we've got Hope. Hope likes crew. She likes to do crew. And then we've got that weird guy in the middle with glasses on. He likes all kinds of outdoor stuff. You got Lincoln up top. Lincoln loves to write. You've got Josh Piazza. Josh is a great gamer. He loves to play games. We've got Maher. Maher's a track star. We've got Ben Paul. Ben Paul loves like computer coding, all stuff like that. Christian Muller, he loves cars. Okay, get it. They're all different up there, right? Everybody's different. But we all came together in Chicago for the same purpose. We had the same mind. It was to grow together in Christ and be able to have spiritual conversations and share the gospel. Isn't that cool? When you think about how different the team was, I love seeing our missions team because everyone's always so different, and yet we come together for the same purpose. And it's just like that in this room. Each and every one of you is different. Now, you have some similar likes, which is probably why you're sitting at the tables with the people you are, because you guys have some similar things that you like, and that's totally fine. But when he says same mind, he's saying you can have all the differences, but will you come together on the one thing that's most important, and that's Christ? So he says all these differences, but there's one thing that unites us together. It's having the mind of Jesus Christ, that he is about bringing people to know him and glorifying God. Having that same mind. So we got to be thinking here in this idea of relational intelligence. We want to have good relationships. We want to have good friendships. We want to have godly friendships. Well, the one way we do that is we have the same mind here. That same mind is a desire to live for Christ and what he does. So then he goes on, he says, the same love. The word here, as many of you know, I'm going to go back here, is having the same love. That word is agape. You've all heard that. You know that there's different kinds of loves in the Greek. There's phileo love, which is a friendship word. There's agape, which is kind of this unconditional love, which is, it's hard for us to fully grasp as Christians. It's something that we seek after, but it's really hard. But it's what Jesus did. I mean, Jesus had such an unconditional love on the cross. Unconditional means there's no conditions on it. He's like, I'm going to die on the cross for you, whether you believe in me or you don't believe in me. That's an unconditional love. Now, he says had the same love. He says had the same love for a really important reason, just the way he says had the same mind. He said had the same mind. If you have anything in Christ, had the same mind. The reason he said that is because he knows that our minds can be set on a lot of different things. In the same way, Paul knows, and as he's writing to these believers in Philippi, he's saying, I know that your love can be set on a lot of different things. In the same way that your mind can be set on things, your love can be set on a lot of different things. Your love can be set on, do I have the right friendships? Do I have the right clothes? Do I have the right house? Do I love this sport? Whatever it may be, our love, the love that we have, can be set in so many different things. And in the same way, our love for people can be very conditional. I mean, I'm so guilty of it. My love can be so conditional. If you're willing to kind of like do this thing for me, then I'm willing to do this for you. We're good at keeping score. Even though we don't want to, I think inherently we are. It's natural for us. I think I'm like that with Wendy. I'm like, well, I mean, if she cooks dinner, then I'm willing to wash the dishes, right? I mean, that's in my mind. I say that a lot. And I'm keeping score. And he says, no, have the same love. A love that, as believers, that's not set on what can people do for us. But because I'm filled by Christ, I can then love unconditionally. And so we obey in that unconditional love. We obey in the sense that it doesn't always like feel good, but we obey because that's what Christ has called us to, because he fills us. Now, Paul says there's one love and that we should all have the same love. And I love this verse because it just defines the kind of love we're supposed to have. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. There's a teacher of the law. He's actually a lawyer, and he says, which is the greatest commandment of the law? So he's kind of trying to test Jesus to go, kind of catch him and go, Jesus, really, like, which one's the best of all? And this is what Jesus says, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all of the law and all of the prophets. So you're wondering what kind of the same love should every one of us in here have? Doesn't matter who you are, whether you're just like, I'm kind of a Christian on Sundays. Like, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I'm sort of a Christian. Or you're like, man, I'm sold out for Jesus. He says, doesn't matter which spectrum you're on. He says the love that we're all supposed to have together is one where we love God. And because we love God, it then naturally goes into we want to love our neighbors the same way that God loves us. That's the kind of love that we're supposed to have. So he calls us to a same mind. He calls us to the same love. And then he says, being in full accord. Kind of an interesting, if you can go back to that, to the Philippians 2:2 verse. Yeah, he says the same mind, same love, and he says a full accord. This is kind of an interesting word here. And what it actually means when it says in full accord, it means one joined in soul. One joined in soul. That's kind of an interesting thing to think of, in full accord, one joined in soul. It's like what he's calling, as I'm teaching this to you guys, and Paul writes this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and I'm teaching it to you. I'm saying to you, as what Paul is saying, the Holy Spirit said to him, that God has called us that we are supposed to here be so tightly knit together. It's that we are going in the same way, almost like our souls are knit together. Almost like our souls are together. We're so bent on, Lord, we want to see you glorified in whatever we do. It doesn't matter what we're doing. Whether we're apart, we're at school, different schools, we're at our jobs, wherever it is, he's saying, it's like we're together, we're moving towards glorifying Jesus Christ. So to kind of help you get an idea, I've got a video to show you what it looks like to be really together and in full accord. So I wanted to show you that video because, as you guys know, that's Dominion High School. They actually came to bring it. And that was nationals from this year. They actually won first place at nationals. So I show you that video. Dennis, my internal lights over here so people can see me. There you go. They won first place, and it's because they were so in full accord. They were so together in what they did. That takes a serious amount of practice. And I know I got to watch them from the stage at Bring It. I got to talk to them some. And when you talk to them, they're like, we're such a tight-knit team. Like, we don't just do this. Yeah, our one goal is that we want to try to win this all, but we love being a family. And you can see it when they do it together. They love doing it, and they're one accord together. And it's kind of cool, like, if the Dominion High School dance team can get together and perform and win nationals, why can't we be as full accord and together and united in mind as a youth group, right? I mean, like, it seems simple when you think about it like that. They can get together and do this dance thing, and Paul's calling us. He's going, I want you to be in full accord, like you're one in soul, moving towards having the same mind, the same love, just pursuing Christ in your love, and we're doing that together. But here's what's interesting when you think about it, okay? So you think about the Dominion dance team. Some of them are in the front. Some are the ones that get to do, like, the cool things. Some of them are in the back, and they're helping keep it all together. Some of them are coaches. Some of their parents supporting them. Yet they're all working towards the same goal. And so for us, as we look to have relational intelligence together in this group and relationships that honor God, one, we've got to be willing to thrive where God's put us. Whatever gifts God's given you, however he's formed you, however he's made you look, however he's made you think, God says, I want you to thrive right there. Pursue me. Grow. Take responsibility. And then he says, as you do that, and as we each do that, we will be moving in one accord for what the Lord wants us to do. We got to be sometimes willing to give up some of the small differences. We got to be sometimes willing to give up, will I give up the limelight, the spotlight for someone else to have it when I might want it? And I'm going to talk about that a little more. We got to work together for the same aim, to follow God. So then he carries on. He says, one mind. He kind of comes back to it. He says, you've got this same mind, the same love, and full accord. And then lastly, he comes back to one mind. And he says, this one mind is becoming under the mind of Christ. It's really the same word that he used in the beginning of same mind. But Paul is trying to hit this thing here. If you have these things in Christ, encouragement and love, then come together as a group, senior high. Let's come together in relationship here to have the same mind to work towards that. When we have the same mind, the same love, and are in full accord together, we know that we're for each other, right? Like, when you know that someone is for you, when you know that someone is behind you and going to support you whatever happens, you're willing to go out and trust and do things and be open and be vulnerable. But if you're always having to kind of look behind your back and wonder, are they really for me? Like, example, the game was supposed to be like you're trying to hit the target. I got hit in the head 5 times. 5 times. It's funny, but it gives you a good example, right? Think about that in life if we take that example to life. If we know that this is the target, if we stand up here on a Sunday and we go on a Wednesday night and we talk about we're supposed to be pursuing God, but then you know that maybe it's you that in private, or you're living a whole completely different life, and then people are like, well, I thought we're supposed to be pursuing this together. And so you wonder, like, what's the deal here, right? Because we're not working in full accord, and that's what Paul is calling us to. So here's the deal. With this same mind, the same love, and full accord, and of one mind, Paul is really saying, it's with we have a common vision together. That common vision is really just to love God and then love others. That's really what it's about. That's really what he's calling us to. He's calling him, whatever you do, whatever college you go to, whatever career you go into, he's saying, love God and love others and have that vision. But here's the deal. Without a vision, without a purpose, without a mission, if we just come here, and we just do this Sunday church thing, but we together in relationship, we never have a mission that God calls us to, we will perish. So I show that because here's the deal. Hitler had unified Germany. He had taken Germany that had almost been decimated in World War I. And he basically took them to a common theme, brought them together, and then his evil desires was literally to take over the world. I mean, that was truly Hitler's desires. If it wasn't for the Allied forces coming together to fight Germany, who knows what would have happened, right? That's on a grand scale, but that's legit. They had to have the same aim together. They had to be unified, and that's where it was so key on that D-Day invasion. Truthfully, I'm not sure we would be here if it wasn't for them coming together to fight this common enemy. There's a biblical example of this, and it's found in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a guy that had been, when the Babylonians came over, came and took over Jerusalem, they deported a bunch of the Israelites back. They took a lot of the governors and the leaders back to Babylon. And Nehemiah gets this vision from God. He's like, I got to go back to Jerusalem and I got to rebuild the wall. Like, we got to protect Jerusalem. And he knew that it was God's city and God wanted him to do this. So crazy enough, God answers it. The king lets him go back and begin rebuilding the wall. And he creates some opposition. But as Nehemiah goes back, here's what he says. He says, then I said to them, this is the leaders and the people of Jerusalem that were still there. He said, you see the trouble we're in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good and also for the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for their good work, for the good work. They realize, okay, we see this vision from Nehemiah. And we see this is what God wants us to do. And they came together. All the people came together. And then here's what if you can go to the next slide, Nehemiah toward chapter 6 says this. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month in 52 days. And when we have a hard time meeting construction deadlines with all the kinds of equipment. So I'm not sure exactly how they did it, but it was because they did. Well, I do know how they did it. They came together as one people to reach this goal to build the wall around Jerusalem. He says, when all of their enemies had heard of it and all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. The people around the enemies realize these people have God on their side. They got it. And so when Paul says, have one mind, have one love, be in full accord, he's calling out to the people of the Philippians. And he's saying, you have to choose. I can't make you do this. But I'm telling you, if you have this in Christ, if you've got this encouragement, if your cup is filled for Christ, then you can be in one accord. You can be of the same love. But you've got to choose to do that. And so today, I'm throwing it out to you guys, like us as a group. Do we want to come together on the same vision? Relational intelligence going, let's be together on what the Lord wants us to do. But each of us individually have to choose to do that, and then God will move us in some really cool directions. If you can go to the next slide. So this, again, I've already talked about our mission team, but this is our mission team. This is just one example, but we come together for this vision to go, we want to see God glorified. We want to see his word go out. You look at things like first fruits, man. Like 900 people going out for the same vision to raise almost $50,000 in one day and deliver food and hope to people. That's people coming together with the same vision to do what God wants us to do. And here's what our vision for Gap is. If you can go to the next slide. Ezekiel 22:30. That's why we call it the Gap. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. Ezekiel says, I found no one. Our desire is the vision that we put out, that me and Bob put out, and the leaders want you to be a part of is, will you be a part of a vision of seeing God glorified, his word go out to your friends to stand in the gap for the Lord? But this is the thing. Paul understands the people he's writing to. And I understand, for I am and you are. We're broken people that struggle. And so he calls them to this same thing, but here's what he goes on to say. And you can go to, I think, two more slides. And Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. So he says, if you've got anything in Christ, be the same mind. You can be different people, but on the same goal. But then he goes and he says, but I know what's going to happen in you. Here's where we struggle. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Now, there's good ambition and there's bad ambition. Good ambition is like, I've got ambition. I want to do God's work. I want to be a part of it. Let's get people together. Let's do something for the Lord. And then there's bad ambition. And bad ambition is where we are all about ourselves. And actually, the word ambition here actually means rivalry. The word ambition actually means rivalry. It means wanting to make myself better than others. Now, we wouldn't probably say out loud we want to make ourselves better than others, but man, it's kind of interesting how much we compare our GPAs a lot, because we want to know if we have a better GPA. It's funny how we compare ourselves in sports, because we want to know, am I better than someone else at sports? Whatever it may be, that rivalry inside of us, this bent we have towards wanting to be better than others, Paul says, be careful. Be aware. Don't do anything out of selfish ambition. Then he says conceit. Conceit is something that I struggle with. Let's be honest. I struggle about being about myself, being all about Lee. And I have to ask myself the question, I'm asking you the question, if we're trying to have the same mind, but we have rivalry and we could have conceit, and conceit is really me trying to make a name for myself. Me trying to make a name for myself. I think there's a natural part of us that wants to be known, that wants people to know that we do good things. And then I think sometimes Satan loves to twist it and go, you're just trying to make a name for yourself. You just want people to think that you're good at this or that or whatever it may be. And so let me ask you this question. Right now, maybe recently, have you been worried that does that person look better than me? Does that person have the friends that I really want to have? It could be whatever it may be. You fill in the blank there. How we're worried that these people, this person, might be at this different place than where I really want to be. And that's something that we struggle through. And so that might be something we need to go, Lord, I'm confessing this rivalry within me, this conceit of making my name for myself. Because if that's what we're trying to do, then we're not going to be able to go on the same aim. We're going to be fighting each other. It's a reality that we got to get off the me train. Some of us have to get over ourselves to go, okay, I want to be a part of this mission that God has for me to be a part of. And this really is hard because it flies in the face of the American dream. So the question is, like, how can I live wisely? How can I want to do good, have a godly ambition, and yet not get caught up in the dream? Because as I'm always chasing the dream, I am missing the relationships and the mission that God has for me and being on the same aim. And you know what it comes down to? It comes down to trusting that God is in control, that he will give me all I need. Because ultimately, we're control freaks. We all want to know, do I have control? Do I got control of my future? Do I have control of this? We want control. And so in the midst of control, that's where this selfish ambition comes in, this conceit and wanting to not make others more significant, but wanting to make Lee significant, wanting to make myself significant. We got to trust that God will provide all that we need. So I'll say this, selfish ambition and conceit are the poison to relationships. You know the thing a lot of times about poison is you can't see poison. Carbon monoxide poisoning. You can't see carbon monoxide. It's too late before you know. But there's carbon monoxide warnings that can see it, that can get it and can see it. And this is what Paul is this warning right now to us. He's going, be warned. Do you have this selfish ambition, this vain conceit in you? Confess it and give it to the Lord so that you can come back under the same aim and the same goal. Selfish ambition is this. Everyone go in their own direction to do their own thing. And it slowly erodes away at trust and unity in the same person, in the same purpose. It's kind of like having this idea of the same aim. Is the whole goal was each of your sides were supposed to be shooting towards that target, right? And the first round I saw this, about three of you shot towards the target. And the rest of you either try to shoot each other or shoot me. I watched it. Then I got smart and got one of these music stands as a shield because I was tired of getting hit. And then the second round, it was like, oh, let's actually see if we can get something on this. And it was funny, the second round, you actually got some on because you had the same aim. Because you're like, let's work towards the same thing instead of being all about myself. Because when you're all about yourself, you didn't care about the goal because it was all about you. I want to have fun. I want to do my thing. And that's a lot of times how we live in life. I want to do my thing. God, I don't really want to do your thing. I'll kind of do your thing. I really want to do my own thing. And he's saying, if you really want to be a part of something important that really matters, do all the same things you do, pretty much, but do them with the mind of Christ, with the desire to see others more significant than yourself. Then he goes on, and he talks about, and if you can go to the next slide, and I think it's 2:4. He says, do it with humility. Oh, I forgot to talk about this. And this idea of humility. I think the best example, if you go back to that John verse, and you go to that, I think John the Baptist is like the best example of humility. It says, the next day he saw John coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came, baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. John was willing to go, I'll give all the significance I had. He had a bunch of people following him. He says to the guys that are following him, he says, no, I'm not the one. This guy is the one. That is so counterintuitive to me. Everything inside me says, I want people to see that I'm the one, that I've got it all together, that I can do these things. And John goes the complete opposite. And here's what, if you can go to that next slide in John, he says this, the next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked away and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. That's crazy. And John said, that's cool, because he's the one. And so that same example for us is, if we're so centered on ourselves, we can't see Jesus, because we're all about me. But John was willing to go, I'm going to take it off myself, and he's the one. Yes, he's the one you want to follow, and I am willing to give up my significance. And so in Philippians 2:4, I'm going to end here. He says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. I'm going to ask you this question. This is a hard question, okay? This is the question. Am I willing to see others do well? We all answer yes to that question, but I'm saying, does your life really look like that? Are you willing to see others do well? If it might mean you don't look as good, that you're not at the top. Jesus was so countercultural when he came to the world. It's crazy. He turned things upside down. He said, instead of pursuing the things that make you look good, he says, will you make others look good? Because Jesus fills you. And so that makes you ask the question. If you're like, truthfully, the way I live is, I really want to look good, you got to ask yourself, well, then what mission am I really all about? Am I really all about Jesus' mission, or am I really more about my mission? And Paul's calling you to say, you've got it all in Christ. So have the same mind. Have the same love. Be in full accord. But this is what I like about what Paul said in verse 4 to end here. Because sometimes you can hear this message, you can go, I just got to be less of myself. I just got to think less of Lee. I got to think less of me. Do more for others. I love what Paul says in 4. Let each of you look not only to the interest, his own interest. So Paul's saying, yeah, take care of yourself. Look to your interests. But don't let it be all about you. But also look to the interest of others. So he's saying, take care of yourself, but be about others. So, and this idea of this relational intelligence is, if we have the love, the encouragement, the foundation in Christ, and my cup is full, I can then be on the same aim. We as a group can be on the same mission. And that would look really cool as we continue to do the same mission. So let me pray and we'll have a little table time. Lord, I know this is it's a hard message to fully wrap our minds around. Like, we get it, Lord, that we're supposed to be on the same aim, the same mission. But Lord, we need you. We need your Spirit to direct us in what that looks like for each of our own lives. And so, God, I pray that we would take that on today to not be about ourselves, but want to see others around us do well, to keep others as significant. And in that, be on this mission with you, Lord, in our own lives. And then we come together to do it. So, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory for things like Spring Clean, where we came together, and First Fruits. But, God, even just a Sunday morning, where we can come together and hanging out and fellowship and worship. And, God, I pray you will strengthen the relationships in here through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.